And now, after a short bit of exertion, we've climbed up from the valley floor, up this gentle track, and I'm now standing on one of these mounds of gravel that we saw from the road. This is pretty much the highest mound. You'll know when you get here because directly in front of you is a small pond. It's actually a much bigger pond than you might think. Your eyes stretch away from the open water across the boggy ground, and there must be something like 40 to 50 metres of wet ground between us and the nearest hills. This small pond is very important in understanding how this landscape formed. What we're looking at is an example of a lake called a kettle hole. Kettle holes are part of glaciated landscapes. What happens is this. When ice, retreating from its maximum position down valley in Glenshee, starts to pull away up into the high ground, lumps of ice, sometimes very large lumps of ice, can be left behind by the glacier as it retreats. The lump of ice then starts to melt, and the melt falls away through the gravels underneath this in the mounds and creates what's called inverted topography. What was a large ice mound in front of us now becomes a negative feature, basically a large deep hole. There's no drainage to this pond, or rather there's only a small amount of drainage at the far end of where we are. So after the ice melted, the water couldn't drain away easily and started to pond. And as it ponded, plants colonised the edges. Eventually, in post-glacial times, much of this lake was turned from open water into a rather spongy sphagnum bog. At the bottom of this pond, this kettle hole lake, should be sediments that date back to when this mound of ice turned into a pond. This works at a number of sites in Glenshee. It's how we start to understand the age of the glacial features around this kettle hole. This kettle hole, though, doesn't contain those secrets. We have cored and stabbed this peat bog with corers and tried to find the deepest sediments. But sediments relating to the last glacial period aren't preserved in this pond. Water must have drained away slowly before it could be contained as a lake. But a couple of miles down the road from us, at a farm called Corridon in Upper Glenshee, people did the same thing as we've tried here. They cored the sediments of an old kettle hole. And what they pulled out was sediment that could be radiocarbon dated. And it could be radiocarbon dated to around 15,000 years ago. So we know that the mounds of gravel that you're standing on were formed before 15,000 years ago. If you were here then, you would see a glacier retreating up Glenshee. You'd see the hill slopes around you with no vegetation, no grass, just rock and scree. And in front of us would be this huge block of ice just melting quietly. So the last glaciers that were here are dated by this pond and others like it, and the last glaciers were here about 20,000 years ago. People have tried to reconstruct the shape of the ice mass over us at that point, and we reckon that perhaps 2 kilometres of ice stood where you are standing now. The ice sheet was huge. It covered the Scottish Highlands. It poured down Glenshee, poured down every other valley in eastern Scotland, into the North Sea. We know it got as far as the North Sea because we can see the sediments that it pushed up in front of it, sediments called moraine that are now under the North Sea. So what we're looking at is a small example of a very, very large ice sheet. But the detail that we can see here goes far to explaining how the glacier behaved, how it advanced, and how it retreated in particular. So, from the pond, we can turn back, and we're standing on our gravel mound. And the simplest thing at this point is just to head for the base of the hills beneath the stone wall itself, so we don't have to lose the height in what we see next.